Our first reading is a contemporary poem, Divorced Fathers and Pizza Crusts. And it's a poem that gets at how much of parenting or taking care of young children is just making it up as you go along, trying to do your best, feeling overwhelmed, wondering how you're doing, and really not having the answers. This is about a divorced dad taking his kid and the child's friend out for pizza on his night with them. The connection between divorced fathers and pizza crusts is understandable. The divorced father does not cook confidently. He wants his kid to enjoy dinner. The entire weekend is supposed to be fun. Kids love pizza. For some reason involving soft warmth and malleability, kids approve of melted cheese on pizza years before they will tolerate cheese in other situations. So the divorced father takes the kid and the kid's friend out for pizza. The kids eat much faster than the dad. Before the dad has finished his second slice, the kids are playing a video game or being Ace Ventura or blowing spitballs through straws, making this hail that can't quite be cleaned up. There are four slices left, and the divorced father doesn't want them wasted. There has been enough waste already. He sits there in his windbreaker finishing the pizza. It's good, except the crust is actually not so great. After the second slice, the crust is basically a chore, so you leave it. You move on to the next loaded slice. Finally, there you are amid rims of crust. All this is understandable. There's no dark conspiracy. Meanwhile, the kids are having a pretty good time, which is the whole point. So the entire evening makes clear sense. Now the divorced dad gathers the sauce-stained napkins for the trash and dumps the rims of crust, which are not corpses on a battlefield. Understandability fills the pizza shop so thoroughly, there's no room for anything else. Now he's at the door summoning the kids, and they follow. Of course they do. He's a dad.
Thank you, Martha, for selecting that poem and for reading it. Martha, in her role on the worship committee and as service assistant, worked with Leah to select the readings for our service today. And Martha read this reading because Leah found it a bit too sad. Understandably. I wasn't sure Martha was going to make it through. That poem immediately takes us to the margins of Father's Day. Here we have a father who's divorced and trying to do the best he can to remain an engaged father with his children. He's constrained by the role models that he's had in his life and by society's expectations of what a father's role is. Buying pizza, even buying too much pizza, fits comfortably into that constrained space. Each year I'm finding it a little more difficult to prepare a service for Mother's Day or Father's Day in a creative way. And I think the congregation deserves more than platitudes from me on this day, or any Sunday service really, but this day that celebrates the role of fathers in our lives and in society. Life is complicated. Fathers can be complicated. And they can add to the complications of our lives. Sometimes on Father's Days, we can try hard to cover all the bases, and we inevitably, I think, lose focus in the process. Here's an example of a prayer attempting to cover all the bases. And I put it in because these bases ought to be covered. It's by Reverend Kirk Lodeman Copeland, a Unitarian minister. Let us praise those fathers who have striven to balance the demands of work and marriage and children with an honest awareness of both joy and sacrifice. Let us praise those fathers who, lacking a good role model as a father, have worked to become a good father. Let us praise those fathers who, by our own account, were not always there for their children, but who continue to offer those children, now grown, their love and support. Let us pray for those fathers who have been wounded by the neglect and the hostility of their own children. Let us praise those fathers who, despite divorce, have remained in their children's lives. Let us praise those fathers whose children are adopted and whose love and support has offered healing. Let us praise those fathers who, as stepfathers, freely choose the obligation of fatherhood and earn their stepchildren's love and respect. And let us praise those fathers who have lost a child to death and continue to hold the child in their heart. Let us praise those men who have no children, but cherish the next generation as if it were their own. And let us praise those men who have fathered us in their roles as mentors and guides. Let us praise those men who are about to become fathers. May they openly delight in their children. And let us praise fathers who have died but live on in our memory and whose love continues to nurture us. That's a profound poem for Father's Day, a poem that tries to cover all the bases, but I think it might miss the mark on Father's Day, from my perspective. In our consideration of the problems on how to address Father's Day, I realized that the answer was right in front of me. It's in the location of the apostrophe in the word Father's Day. And if you're like me, you would have to Google this to double check. Because you'll find references to having fathers plural with an apostrophe or father with the apostrophe S. But, from what I can gather, the proper designation is the singular, father apostrophe S. Father's Day. Same for Mother's Day. See, Father's Day wasn't meant to be a celebration of fathers or a celebration of fatherhood or a celebration of manhood. Father's Day is a day to remember and reflect on the life of your father, or the father figure in your life and his influence on you. It's a day to celebrate your father to the extent that that's possible for you to do. And I recognize that some of you with good reason may choose to shun the idea of the celebration of Father's Day, and that's okay. As Unitarian Universalists, we do not need to be reminded that we're not compelled to celebrate any particular holiday, religious or secular. And yet, in our diversity, we recognize that many of us do have reasons to celebrate the lives of our fathers and their influence in shaping our lives. I'd now like to ask Leah to come forward and read.
The Heart by Bruce Weigel. When he was my age and I was already a boy, my father built a machine in the garage, a wired piece of steel, with many small and beautiful welds, ground so smooth they resembled rows of pearls. He went broke with whatever it was. He held it so carefully in his arms, he carried it foundry to foundry. I think it was his heart. I think it was what he longed to make with his hands for the world. He moved it finally from the lock closet to the bedroom to the garage again, where he hung it on the wall until I climbed and pulled it down and rubbed it clean and tried to make it work. Thank you.
So in this poem, we have the experience that rings true for many of us. A memory of our father that's somehow connected to an object that he prized or perhaps that he fashioned. When I read the poem that Leah had selected, I got up out of my den and I went to the shelf in the hallway and I retrieved my father's pocket watch. A watch that he got from his father when his father worked on the railroad. He wasn't in a position to be sort of given a railroad watch. He didn't have an official. He worked on the road gang repairing the tracks. But he was very proud of the watch. And I saved it because it's anything but pristine. It bears my father's imprint. The stem on the top was broken, and my dad carefully soldered on a little brass nut. Did you see my dad's handiwork there? And a watch should have a watch fob, right? Usually a nice gold chain that you would put on a watch fob. This is a brown shoelace that my dad tied and used. And he would carry the watch in his pocket and use the appropriate fob. That was my father. My dad died 24 years ago, and this poem by Ken Nye speaks to me. It's called My Father's Things. Ken Nye wrote, "My dad died 28 years ago. I still have some of his things, and I have many more things than just pocket watch. A red plaid Pendleton bathrobe. I look like Dad in that thing now. An old Sears table saw, bought used in 1950. I still use it, but only for rough work. An old grinding wheel, noisy as sin, but it sharpens the mower blade in no time." I don't know how many of you have this. Trays and trays of screws and nuts sorted by biscuit pan for size. Just reach in, stir, and search for what you're looking for. His gold watch, given to him in 1957. It hasn't worked for years, and it's going to cost too much to fix it, so I keep it in my drawer. He had a pocket knife, but I lost it. I always lose pocket knives. There were other things of his that I have as well. I have his feet. I swear my feet look exactly just like his. I have his eyes. They're big. They're big and brown. I have his gait. His knees kicking out bow-legged like cowboys. When I walk in front of the storefront window, it's my dad. I have some other things of his too. A love of animals, especially dogs, one of God's great inventions. And I have his value system and his code of conduct, his do's and don'ts for being a man. Some might say bathrobes and saws and codes of conduct are not exactly jewels you can take to the bank. But I answer, jewels don't shine as brightly as my father's things. My original intention this morning was to talk about the difference between mothers and fathers. And Googling that phrase sent me down a rabbit hole. I found a lot of funny memes, most of which I wouldn't want to share with you this morning. But there is one. Here we go. The difference between mothers and fathers. So those kinds of memes are based on stereotypes and the difference between mothers and fathers. But thankfully, many of those stereotypes of fathers as less responsible, more risk-taking, more competitive, more emotionally distant, etc., they're changing. At least they're changing for some. But our individual mothers and fathers are different, and we get different gifts from them. This is the nature of sexual reproduction, just like the giant pumpkin plants I was talking about earlier. I wonder if that reference is going to raise questions for Marie Claude. An introduction to the birds and the bees. Let's start with the pumpkin plant. I like to leave a challenge for her. I gave up the idea of stereotyping mothers and fathers. Their roles are too important to be taken lightly. I'd like to leave you with a suggestion this morning. Suggestion from Wayne Muller in his book Sabbath. A suggestion for a spiritual practice again. This is the month of blessings. He wrote about what he calls encouraging the practice of secret blessings. And he writes, "Bless strangers quietly and secretly. Offer it to people you notice in the streets, in the market, or on the bus. Silently say to yourself, may you be happy. May you be at peace. Feel the blessing move through your body as you offer it. Notice how you both receive some benefit from the blessing. At first blush, it's hard to imagine how a secret blessing can produce much good. How can a person receive something they aren't aware of that you're giving to them? But of course, this practice is more about what happens to us and what happens to them. And you've heard me say, I think that's the truth for prayer in general. It's more about what it does to us. Prayer alters our intention, making us scan and become more aware of our surroundings. It changes our attitude towards others. Just imagine going through your day looking for excuses to wish people well or think the best of them, rather than looking for threats or assuming ill intent. And it connects us to others, helping us acknowledge common struggles and hungers. On this Father's Day, I commend this spiritual practice to you. Watch for young fathers out with their children. When you notice one, pause and say a silent prayer. A prayer that they may be the positive, loving role model for their children throughout their lives. That they may have the support of family and friends and community that it takes to raise a child. As Wayne Muller says it, it won't make any difference in the life of the young family you're observing, but it will make you more compassionate, more loving, more supportive for the young families that are in your life. For those young families in your life where you can make a difference. May it be so. Amen.